a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Lily Liu. Coming up in the program, China's first domestically built cruise ship, the Adora Magic City, has set sail from Shanghai for its maiden voyage. Stay tuned for updates from the event. The global manufacturing sector continues to struggle as PMI contracts for the eighth straight month and reaches a three-year low. However, Asia and Africa have provided stability amidst the downturn. Tens of thousands of beautiful villages have emerged in East China's Zhejiang Province thanks to a 20-year project aimed at revitalizing rural areas. We take a closer look at the initiative and its impact on the region's communities. The Adora Magic City, that's China's first domestically built cruise ship, was undocked in Shanghai on Tuesday after a two-year construction period. The ship's launch is a significant milestone in China's efforts towards achieving technological independence. Our correspondent Wu Bing is on site to provide us with more information about the cruise ship.
First, I would like to start with the name. That is very special. The name is Adora Magic City. Some of you may know that Magic City is actually the nickname of Shanghai, so the name itself shows the birthplace of the cruise ship. And the ship is over 300 meters long and over 37 meters wide and has over 25 million components, double the time needed to build an aircraft carrier. And the ship is more than just being large, it's extremely complex to build compared to other container ships. For example, because as a cruise ship, it's also of vital importance to provide passengers a cozy experience on board. For example, over there, we can see the cabins there. If you open the door onto the balcony, the air conditioner will automatically stop because the system assumes that you want to enjoy some of the ocean breeze. And also, safety is of vital importance. So on each side, there are 10 safety boats. Although it looks small from here, But it actually has the capacity of accommodating up to 300 people each. So even if the worst case scenario happens, all the passengers can be evacuated to lifeboats.
And now we take a look at the cruise industry in China. Since year 2006, the cruise industry in China has been gaining momentum, providing travelers with an alternative holiday experience and potentially boosting the economy. Our reporter Xu Yi provides us with more on the subject.
In 2006, the launch of Costa Cruises' inaugural journey to Shanghai marked the start of a new era for China's cruise industry and luxury travel sector. Costa Crozier subsequently became the first international cruise line to establish a regular route from China. Between 2008 and 2018, a total of 9 modern cruise ports were constructed, including Shanghai, Tianjin, Shenzhen, Xiamen, and Sanya. Numerous global cruise brands such as Royal Caribbean and Norwegian Cruise have also introduced home port routes in China to capture a share of this lucrative market. According to data from the Cruise Lines International Association, almost 30 million cruise passengers worldwide contributed to an economic output of over $150 billion in 2019. And China's cruise industry as a whole contributed over $5 billion and created 67,000 jobs. And the Ministry of Transport has reported that China's cruise passenger traffic has risen by over 40% each year since 2006. The launch of the Adora Cruises in 2022 was followed by the unveiling of the first luxury cruise ship independently developed by China, the Zhaoshang Yidun, ushering in a new chapter for the country's burgeoning cruise industry.
The emphasis in the post-COVID-19 era has shifted to domestic coastal cruise tours with the goal of eventually restoring global cruise tours. It is anticipated that a full recovery will be achieved by the National Day holiday this year.
As the cruise industry undergoes a global reset due to the pandemic, China's 17-year investment in this sector is expected to play a significant role in revitalizing the economy. the industry has the great potential to contribute to the ongoing economic recovery in a meaningful way. Xu Yi, CGTN, Beijing.
And now for more discussions on the undocking of Adora Magic City, we're now joined by Wang Kun, assistant professor at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. Hi there, Mr. Wang. So tell us, what's the implication this undocking of China's first domestically built cruise ship have for the country's manufacturing industry?
Okay, actually it's a significant milestone for China's manufacturing industry. It shows China's growing technological and manufacturing capabilities. As we know, the cruise ship is far more difficult to build than other types of ships like container ship or dry bulk ship. So not so many countries have this capability. So it's really a milestone. And also it shows China can compete with other global players in this manufacturing field. And also, I think this is not a coincidence. The debut of the C919, recently also showed China has many breakthroughs in the high-tech and advanced manufacturing fields.
And also, could you elaborate a bit more on the economic significance of the Adora Magic City?
Yeah, firstly, I think it's very important for the tourism industry, and not only for the cruise shipping, but also spill over to the hospitality, hotel, retailing, and something like that. And also, more important, I want to mention is about the manufacturing. Because the cruise shipping market is growing, and the demand for the cruise ship is global. So if China has this capability to build the cruise ship, it means China can export a lot of these kind of ships to the other countries. So it will definitely contribute to China's export sector. And also, I want to mention is the manufacturing industry. Even though this is only for cruise ship, but some of the technologies and the capabilities can spill over to other manufacturing fields. So it will further upgrade China's advantage and the competitive edge in other manufacturing fields as well. So I think it is, has a profound impact on China's economy overall.
Right, so the economic impact really spans across different sectors. And let's talk about how technology empowers, you know, this sector. The cruise now is aimed to lead in the cruise 5G market and also beyond. Yeah. I mean, with the possibility, once you have 5G connectivity, you can, you know, easily introduce other technologies onto the cruise. How do you think technology will aid in the high quality development of the tourism industry?
Yeah, this is a very good question. So we are now very familiar with 5G technology in daily life on land. However, so this technology, 5G, if we equip it on the cruise ship, it has a lot of impact. Firstly, is to enhance the passengers' customer service experience. Like you can enjoy the high-speed internet service on board as well. The secondly, it will increase the operational efficiencies of the ship because a lot of the device can be enabled by the 5G technology to increase the efficiencies of like navigation, scheduling, and reducing the waiting time and improving the overall ship operations, save energy as well. And also it will enhance the safety because a lot of the sensors, a lot of the detectors, they can be better in effect with the 5G technology. So it will reduce the safety risks, enhance the safety for the passengers and also for the ship crews.
Great insight. Thank you so much. That's Mr. Wang Kun, assistant professor of the Hong Kong Polytechnic University. And let's check out the manufacturing sector globally. The latest report by China Federation of Logistics and Purchasing reveals that the PMI for the global manufacturing sector reached a three-year low in May, marking the eighth consecutive month of contraction. On a regional level, Asian and African countries have served as stabilizers for the world manufacturing sector, with their PMI hovering around the 50 mark, indicating a balance. Well, the 50 mark acts as a threshold separating expansion from contraction. However, countries in the Americas and Europe have reported sluggish factory activities as the adverse effects of tight monetary conditions and high inflation continue to persist. And now for more on the latest PMI numbers and the manufacturing sector globally, let's cross over to our guest, Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer of Novem RK Technologies. Hello, Jiahe. So tell us, first of all, what are really the key challenges that is facing the global manufacturing sector at present?
Hi, Lily. Good afternoon. When we look at the global economy, there are multiple challenges. The rising benchmark interest rate is a continuous challenge. Meanwhile, the inflation that has been put under control in recent months is still a threat. And with this ongoing worrying of inflation, central banks around the world are reluctant to reduce the interest rate, which on the other hand poses a pressure to the economy. Meanwhile, the war is still going on in Europe, which can be a damage to both current economy and future investment confidence. Furthermore, the ongoing trade tension between U.S. and China is also worrying investors and businessmen.
Upon all of that, Jiahe, in what ways do you think fiscal policies across the globe, central bank decisions across the world, affecting the recovery of the global manufacturing sector?
But regarding what the government can do, there are the fiscal policy and the monetary policy. The fiscal policy is conducted by the government and the monetary policy by the central bank. So currently, there is clearly quite little that central banks can do in the first place, basically because there is the inflationary pressure hanging there. So the choice left for central banks are limited, that they can't freely use the actions such as reducing interest rate, injecting liquidity to the market, etc. So what is left is in the hand of government. There are multiple things left that they can do, such as reducing tax, increasing public investment, giving consumption coupons, etc. Also, increasing the trade relationship between countries is a good thing, although this is not a traditional fiscal action, but it is very beneficial.
And also, let's zoom in a bit on China now. China's composite PMI reached its highest level in May since 2021. What can we infer from that?
Well, this tells us about how resilient and strong the Chinese economy is. And don't forget the large growth potential for our economy. Currently, the property sector is still posing some pressure onto the Chinese economy. That is why we can see that the economic indicators are not that high. But the PMI tells more about the confidence rather than the current status. And from subsectors beside the property, such as online shopping, tourism, trade, as well as the new energy sector, we can see that the economy is gradually recovering.
Well, great stuff. Thank you very much, Mr. Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer at Novem RK Technologies. European stocks continue to seek lower levels in early trading on Tuesday after declining overnight on warning from European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde during the hearing at the European Parliament. She said that inflation has not peaked yet and stated the need for an interest rate policy that will restrict inflation.
Our future decisions will ensure that the policy rates will be brought to levels sufficiently restrictive to achieve a timely return of inflation to our 2% medium-term target and will be kept at those levels for as long as necessary.
The latest data showed that inflation in the euro area, excluding energy and food, fell slightly to 5.3% in May. However, upside pressure from the pass-through of past high energy costs and supply bottlenecks, according to Lagarde, still persist. ECB recently hiked key rates by 0.25% during this meeting in May, with rates now at levels not seen since 2008 global financial crisis. At China's annual International Postal and Telecommunications Expo, all eyes are on 5G technology development and its game-changing impact on various industries. Our reporter brings you insights from industry experts on the latest 5G trends.
4 years in the making, 5G technology is in full bloom in China. At the China International Postal and Telecommunications Expo, experts explore the diverse scenarios where 5G can thrive and make a difference. Huawei's Zhu Xiaodan highlights how 5G's high-speed transmission and low latency not only enhance efficiency in sectors like logistics and mining, but also inspire emerging fields like live streaming sales.
In the near future, in the process of moving forward to the digital world, everything will be connected by 5G network, including connection of things, of people, of vehicles, and everything. Expanding cellular IoT connection is the foundation to connect the digital world and the physical world. So in a world, the intelligence is the brain of the digital world, and the 5G is the body and the nerve system of it.
As the industry strengthens 5G technology, attention turns to its upgraded version, known as 5G Advanced.
The 5G Advanced network will provide 10 gigabytes per second for download and 1 gigabyte for upload, and even 100 billion connection capability simultaneously. Currently, the whole industry is making efforts to define the 5G Advanced standard. At the spring of next year, 5G Advanced standard release will be frozen, and end-to-end 5G Advanced products will put into commercialization as well.
China Telecom shares the same mission. The Deputy General Manager of Azan Man Technology Innovation Center told me that the latest products on display here in their booth is a showcase of China's self-reliance of core technology.
Incredible strides have been made in China's mobile communication networks, progressing from 3G breakthrough to 4G synchronization, and now leading the way with 5G. This advancement signifies significant breakthroughs in technology, services, and applications within our mobile communication networks.
In the eyes of market participants, 5G's momentum remains robust even after 4 years since its introduction. They see how 5G seamlessly connects every aspect of our lives and work, providing better experience through faster speeds. And their quest for new possibilities does not end there. With the industry constantly evolving through new concepts, they're poised to embrace waves of transformation down the road. Dai Kaiyi, CGTN, Beijing.
In China's coastal Zhejiang province, tens of thousands of beautiful villages have emerged as part of a two-decade-long project aimed at revitalizing rural areas. Almost all villages in Zhejiang are now connected to standard highways, compared to just 40% in 2003. Grid upgrades have also led to more stable electricity supplies in rural areas, which has played a pivotal role in the increased development of these villages. Zhejiang's villages are considered highly digital-friendly, and since 2003, 47,000 enterprises or entrepreneurs have emerged in these areas, and this has led to an increase of 6 times in the disposable income of the people living in these beautiful villages. Our reporter Zhou Yixin has more from Zhejiang's Meirong villages.
There's an artistic atmosphere in Meirong village, set against a backdrop of beautiful natural scenery. But a couple of years ago, the village environment was not as livable and beautiful as it is today.
Before the promotion of the Green Rural Revival Program, our village had the same problems many villages had, including bad sanitation, poor infrastructure, and the sewage was flowing everywhere. A couple of years ago, we started to build better infrastructure and conduct sewage treatment.
The government program puts the environment at the heart of economic development in rural parts of China. Villagers in Meirong say they've benefited the most from improvements to infrastructure.
Before, villagers get water from Fuchun River. When it was dry season, sometimes we couldn't get enough water. We had to get water from other villages nearby. A couple of years ago, the infrastructure was improved. The county water company started providing water to every household.
Farming has also undergone profound changes.
In the past, the field planning in our village was messy. Villagers planted fruit trees and crops in the same field. But after we contracted the land to a professional grain grower in 2020, all the fields are planted with the same crop. It looks prettier.
There have been other changes too. An abandoned oil mill was converted into a modern cafe featuring art installations. Barren land has been turned into a farm that children love to visit. And the village is developing rural tourism, with local people opening homestays and earning income from visiting tourists.
3 years ago, Meirong Village decided to take advantage of its beautiful location and build itself into a cultural and artistic village. It's part of the process of revitalization of the countryside and the development of rural tourism. Since 2021, Meirong Village has been holding annual art festivals, attracting a large number of tourists.
More than 60,000 people attended this year's art festival, with the local community earning around $1.5 million from tourism income. With more visitors expected in the month and years to come, the future looks bright for Meirong's villagers. Joyce, CGTN, Meirong Village, Zhejiang Province.
And we also paid a visit to Qingyang Village in the east of Zhejiang Province to check out the changes that have taken place over the last 20 years.
25 of Xuzhou's tourism enterprises came to visit Qingyang Village at the beginning of the summer.
The facilities for tourists are becoming much more diverse, and a lot of them are brand new.
However, the village was not inherently a place of beauty and industry with local characteristics. The villagers have quite a bit to share when reflecting on the situation roughly 20 years ago.
As far as I can remember, the beams were old, rotten, and falling apart.
The village began changing as the 1,000 Villages Demonstration and 10,000 Villages Renovation Project was launched in 2003. The transformation began with the construction of a 6-meter-wide concrete road in the village filled with ancient buildings. In 2006, the then CPC Zhejiang Provincial Secretary Xi Jinping reviewed the situation in Jiangshan and decided to visit Qingyang Village as he had heard about the village's ancient history. Subsequently, he specifically requested the provincial authorities to provide funds for the renovation of the ancient buildings as he had seen that many of them were in danger of collapse.
He was captivated by the local environment and the cultural heritage that he encountered in our ancient village, and then he advised us to protect, develop, and make the best use of our village.
The residents of Qingyang were really motivated to renovate their hometown based on the book and culture theme, so as to make Xi's directives a reality. A comprehensive environmental campaign was launched in 2007 to upgrade the village's toilets and create a green belt along with the neighboring Mount Jianglong and the ancient military fort of Nianbabu. Qingyang Village was recognized as a national 5A tourism attraction, making it another milestone in the campaign to enhance beautiful rural areas. Qingyang Village is now making great efforts to attract visitors from all over the world by setting up new future village businesses, such as a bookstore, a wine shop, and a chili sauce workshop.
Following the recommendations of the 1,000 Villages Demonstration and 10,000 Villages Renovation Project and General Secretary Xi's directives, Qingyang Village has been recognized and the village's income has grown by twofold. In 2023, we will invest 120 million yuan to conserve and develop the heart of the ancient village.
Xuzhou's Jiangshan County is promoting 73 projects that are included in the future village building plan with additional momentum so as to ensure the comprehensive implementation of the 1,000 Villages Demonstration and 10,000 Villages Renovation Project. All of the demonstration zones of the beautiful rural areas initiatives such as Qinghu Ancient Town, Fenshi Village, and Xunli Village are being connected so as to form a tourism chain, making the tourism in Jiangshan area increasingly attractive.
The rise of small stores in Chinese cities is transforming urban life, with Shanghai, a major consumer hub, becoming a popular destination for small business owners. Our reporter Zhang Shixuan recently visited a newly opened parkour training store in Shanghai to learn more about how the founder stepped out of her comfort zone.
Running, vaulting, jumping, climbing, and rolling. A series of fast movements to traverse obstacles called parkour. And it all happens in this 200 square meter exercise center in Shanghai's Huangpu district. Xia Pengmin started her professional life in the banking industry but switched careers 2 years ago, opening a center in Jing'an. This new one is three times the size of the first.
I'm fulfilling my childhood dream. I had reached a plateau in my previous job, and I didn't feel like an ordinary life of office work. I just wanted to take this chance and have a try. I got my first batch of customers in just the first month after opening, and since then, I'd been thinking of having a bigger setup. And then, this newly opened sports-themed shopping mall reached out to us.
The membership in her centers has now tripled from what it was at the beginning. Most of members are between 20 and 35 and work in a variety of industries.
The newly opened stores now are not just limited to the restaurants, cafes, tea houses, or accessory shops that are easily available along the city streets downtown. The founders are now digging into some really new and niche markets, looking for the special customers, just like this one, the parkour training store.
Small restaurants have a lot of competition, so they usually have promotion costs. But for us, we don't have much competition, so our promotion costs are a lot smaller.
It's been a year now. I have made many friends here, as we share a common hobby, so we have a lot to talk about.
This is my first time seeing a small shop like this. It's safer than training outdoors, and I can have a professional tutor here.
I'm at a management position in manufacturing industry, so I spend lots of time in the office. Exercise helps me relax and forget about work. I've met 7 or 8 new girlfriends here. We usually go out together now.
Both of the parkour training centers were open during the COVID outbreak, a time when many would have been worried about starting a new business. But it turned out this young lady was pretty confident about her prospects.
The pandemic seemed to me like one of those things you can't avoid, so I wasn't about to give up my dreams because of those worries. It took around 6 months for me to get back all my costs for my first store, and this one, probably I will have made back the costs after the summer vacation.
I should say it's a really unique experience compared with the majority of the small stores I've been visiting. It's full of challenges yet gives you a feeling of relief from the busy city life.
And though small, the center has been attracting more employees.
This is my first time working in such a small place. They treat you better.
And as the name of Center No Limits would suggest, it's enabled the founder and her customers to leap out of their comfort zones and not worry about their limits. And that's perhaps the real lessons of small shop operations.
In the first quarter of this year, more than 30,000 new small shops opened in Shanghai. That's according to data from Meituan. And in March alone, the number of newly opened small stores in the city jumped more than 40% from the previous month. The recurring consumption is the engine behind them. Zhang Shuxuan, ICS for CGTN, Shanghai.
And with that, I'm wrapping up this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. Thanks for being with us. I'm Lulu in Beijing.